This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on May 31st, 2007. Should you have questions after listening to this recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
The next item on our agenda is a report of the Audit Division on the Gebhardt for President campaign. And on this matter, we have Tom Hintermeister, as well as Joel Stoltz is going to be remaining with us from the Staff Director's Office, as well as Delaney Painter and Larry Calvert again will be remaining with us from the General Counsel's Office.
Mr. Carey must be more popular than Mr. Gebhardt. Everybody's leaving.
I think they may have just hit their level of endurance. We'll be awarding copies of the regulations book to those who remain to the end. Would you like to proceed?
Sure. Good afternoon. Before us is the final audit report for the Gebhardt for President Committee from the 2004 cycle. The audit report contains four findings with recommendation that an amount due to the Treasury for approximately $479,000. Finding number one concerns the audit staff's determination that the committee received matching funds in excess of entitlement. This finding didn't appear in the preliminary audit report. There were some changes from the preliminary report to the final report that warranted this finding. Namely, winding down costs were lower than estimated. Amounts payable for excessive contributions were reduced as a result of the decision to cure certain excessive contributions by sending letters to contributors as opposed to refunds. Number three, an adjustment was made to accounts payable to exclude Iowa expenditures that were made over the Iowa expenditure limit and considered a non-qualified campaign expense. Finding number two is the audit staff's identification of excessive contributions. The majority of these excessive contributions had been resolved as a result of refunds issued or via a notification for presumptive contributions for reattribution. The recommended amount due for the remaining excessive contributions is $60,000. Finding number three is the audit staff's identification of expenses in Iowa over the Iowa spending limit. The Iowa spending limit was exceeded by $162,000. The recommended pro rata repayment on this is approximately $27,000. And finding number four are stale dated checks that were identified by the audit staff, totaling approximately $12,000, and this would be the amount due to the Treasury as well. Thank you, and we can answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. Any questions, comments? Commissioner Weintraub.
Council have anything to say before I launch?
Okay.
I suspected not, but I thought. first of all, I want to thank the auditors on both this matter and the last matter, and these audits are dreadful for us to go through, and I know that's a small fraction of how dreadful it is for you to do them in the first place.
It's what we do.
I know. And actually, the irony is, Joe, that I know that you actually enjoy doing that, which is
scary,
mind-boggling,
isn't it?
To me. Yes, it's truly mind-boggling to me. But so I really do appreciate all the work that went into this. I do have a couple of concerns on finding one and finding three. And again, this just goes to back to some of the things I was saying earlier about fairness. Fairness to people who participate in this process and my concern that they be treated comparably to other folks who've been through the process before. And that they have some sense that they can predict how they're going to be treated based on how people were treated before. With respect to finding one, finding one includes $128,105 that we didn't tell them about when we were at the PAR. That's allocable expenditures that the audit report says were paid after the candidate's date of ineligibility and considered as non-qualified campaign expenses. And my understanding is that those are bills that were incurred before the date of ineligibility but didn't get paid until after the date of ineligibility, which was determined by the fact that Dick Gephardt stood up and said, I'm out, I'm done, after the Iowa caucuses, although he didn't have to. He could have, you know, hung in there for a while and waited for his bills to come due and all that. And we could get into a very exciting discussion of how NOCOs and NICWIs are figured out here, but this was an oversight on our part that when we issued the PAR to the committee, we did not factor in this $128,000. We knew about it. We didn't factor it in. And there are some expenses that we knew about that we couldn't account for precisely, like the winding down costs. We didn't know then at the PAR exactly how much the winding down costs would be. But this was a set figure that we did know about then, and we did not tell them that we were going to be considering that to be non-qualified. And I think just as a matter of fairness, that we should not, at this juncture, be telling them that they have an extra $128,000 that they need to worry about that they didn't think they needed to worry about. So, as I said, you know, we could, you know, I'm not saying that we have absolutely no legal authority to include that number, although I could make that argument. I think the simpler argument is that, you know, we just, as a matter of fairness, shouldn't include that because we didn't tell them about it at the juncture when they would have normally expected to be informed about it. The other fairness issue that comes up here has to do with finding three. And that is simply that this issue has come up before, and when Bob Dole exceeded the Iowa spending limit, he wasn't asked for a repayment. And maybe he should have been, but he wasn't. And if he wasn't, it seems sort of unfair to ask Dick Gephardt to repay the money now. As I said, I think it's really important that we treat comparably situated candidates the same, that people can look back at what we've done in the past and have some sense of what we're going to do in the future. And, you know, we had several opportunities to where we looked at that issue and debated whether to amend the rules and whether to clarify it and look to Congress, and they didn't do anything about it. And, you know, the bottom line is that the last time this came up, we did not ask for a repayment. And I recognize that the auditors recommended that we ask for a repayment, and they're being perfectly consistent here, but you know, that wasn't the result, and I think that in fairness to this general committee that, or I guess this primary committee, that we should treat them the same way. So those are my two issues. I think we ought to deduct $128,105 from the $378,408 in finding one, and I think we ought to eliminate finding three.
Thank you. Vice Chairman Mason.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I had circulated to my colleagues some material that I had from the very happy experience of the Dole audit, there were some complex issues relating to the interaction or the comparison between the general election funding statute and the primary funding statute that I addressed at that time, and it is. Frankly, lost both to my memory and to my records as to why we did what we did in terms of Iowa. And I don't know if Mr. Stoltz has any recollection as to whether there was any, you know, I know completely what we did as to the overall spending limit, and I've shared that with my colleagues, but I just, I'm in agreement with Commissioner Weintraub in terms of we ought to treat people the same way, but if we know or can dredge up any rationale behind the Iowa decision, it would probably be better, at least so we could understand what mistake we were repeating, if indeed that's what we're doing, or what precedent we're following, or however you want to put it.
I went back through some of my papers on that case, and I have the audit report itself and what we said about it there. It says the commission approved staff recommendation to find that the Dole for President Committee exceeded expenditure limit by $53,000. However, as noted in the previous finding, the Commission declined to determine that any repayment resulted. The previous finding had to do with the overall spending limit, and it explains that there were three separate motions to approve the repayment, not to approve the payment, and then one to just decide that they were in fact over the spending limit, but there was going to be no repayment. So it references that same discussion. I also have the commission or secretary's certifications on it, and there isn't any more detail there than there is in the report. So I, like you, other than what is written, do not recall precisely what the discussion was at the time.
And I just note my colleagues would probably understand that the reason it's a puzzle is because the prior discussion that's referred to was based on, at least in part, on my memos, which distinguished between the overall spending limit and the state spending limit based on a prior court case. So I can't explain it, nor can I remember it.
And I can't explain it either because I wasn't here, but I just want to treat people the same. It just comes, you know, at this point, it almost doesn't matter to me, you know, unless you want to revisit the issue in a rulemaking or a policy context, I think we can do that. But in this context, for me, the key issue is that the last time this came up, we did not ask for a repayment, and I think it's only fair that we be consistent.
I agree. Any other? Commissioner Von Spakovsky?
Mr. Chairman, I certainly agree on finding three, on the $27,000. I'm not sure I can agree on finding one for the simple fact that I think, Commissioner Weintraub, what you want us to do is kind of fudge on the regulation. And I'm not quite sure how we can do that because, I mean, the regulation in question for the NOC, which is 9034.5A, basically says that you've got to do it as of the date of your ineligibility. And the date of ineligibility is outlined in 9033.5. And it's a very, I mean, there's not really much room for doubt in that regulation. I mean, it says the date of ineligibility is the date you publicly announce. And he did that. So I think the auditor was absolutely correct in fixing the date they were supposed to do that. I think you're making an equity argument, which, as you know, in many cases I very much listen to. But I'm not sure how we can apply that here because this reg is so very, very specific on that issue. I mean, it seems like a very mechanical, this is a, The NACO, whatever the acronym is that we use for it, this is a very mechanical application based on the reg, and I guess I don't quite see how we can bring this equity argument into it to say that they haven't violated the regulation.
Commissioner Weintraub.
Well, I think that I could make the argument, and indeed the Gephardt campaign did make the argument that it should be excluded in any event because the obligations were already incurred as of the date of ineligibility. Frankly, you know, when I was discussing with colleagues, my sense was that people felt more comfortable with the due process argument, that that it was unfair to the committee to tell them at the par that, you know, they had certain liabilities that they needed to be concerned about, and, you know, then they budget accordingly, and they, you know, they handle their fundraising and whatever in a certain expectations, and, you know, then at the final we said, oops, sorry, we forgot about another $128,000. Too bad. You know, I think that we can certainly do that on due process grounds, and I'm comfortable doing it in particular because I think there is also a good substantive argument underlying it that, you know, if you want to get into the incredibly arcane and exciting world of NOCOs and, you know, bills being incurred as opposed to bills being paid, and I also think that the committee made a good argument that, you know, the Gephardt campaign, Mr. Gephardt certainly could have just, you know, not announced when he did that he was pulling out. He could have just done very little and said he was thinking about it and waited for his bills to come in and paid them off, and then he would be in a substantially better position in the view of our auditors than he is today. And that is a very bizarre incentive system that we are setting up for candidates. But I'm comfortable doing it just based on the equities, just doing it based on the due process argument that we didn't tell him at the par. It's a little late in the day for us to be bringing up another six-figure repayment form. You know, you may find that persuasive or not. I find it persuasive.
We can have.
Yeah, and I mean, I do. I think that this there's value in sort of treating these issues consistently across time, and you know, there's certainly a number of different ways to read these regulations, and we're sort of struggling through the most appropriate one. But I'm entirely comfortable with that outcome. Commissioner Walther, are you seeking
my only concern is that just as a matter of precedent, if we miss something at one point, and can we never go back and bring it up again? What would be a equitable way to do that would work, I guess? And just to say that, well, we didn't bring it up earlier, therefore, we never can do it again. And I guess I worry a little bit about, and I'm interested in your how the cutoff period works in all instances. I mean, if somebody writes a check and it's not cleared and it's still an obligation, it's not paid, and I mean, how fair would that be?
Well, if they've written it,
there's a lot of slush in between the final payment and the final getting the bill, and yeah, the bill, send me the bill, and then the bill doesn't come in time, and so the time is up. And how strict should do you think in fairness it should be applied?
Well, if the check had been written, we would be looking at it as paid, so you don't really get that question. What you can get, of course, is business cycles and vendor billings and things that happen in the campaign while this is all going on. The date of ineligibility is set by regulation. It happens. On that day, the matching fund system changes substantially. As up until that date, the only cap on how much you can get in matching funds is the 50% of the spending limit statutory cap and, you know, your ability to raise money. After that day, there is a third factor that comes in, and that is, what do you have in qualified campaign expenses and wind down to pay? And that's the limit. And when that comes into play, things change. Can it be argued that a candidate might manipulate things by staying in longer, getting out earlier? Yeah, I think that's a possibility. However, you know, the way the regulations are set up, this is the outcome when a candidate decides that I've taken my shot and I'm going to get out of the race.
Commissioner Weintraub, I'm sorry, and then Commissioner Von Spakovsky. I just
wanted to point out that this is sort of the flip side of the state expenditure limit issue, because the reason that these bills are at issue is not only they were unpaid, but they were in excess of the spending limit for Iowa. And, you know, so it's another aspect of the same problem, which, as I said before, we didn't order a repayment for a previous candidate, so I feel uncomfortable doing it here.
Very good. Commissioner Von Spakovsky.
Well, I mean, I share the concern that Commissioner Walther expressed. I mean, a preliminary audit is exactly that, a preliminary audit. And given the fact that the committee can, you know, certainly ask for administrative review, it's, you know, a due process argument comes up when you're going to make a holding against someone that they haven't had an opportunity to defend against. they haven't had an opportunity to present evidence on their side that would go against the finding. And I don't think that's the situation here. I think we would be unduly prejudicing ourselves if we issue a ruling that says that if we don't catch absolutely every single item and every single dollar in a preliminary audit, well, we certainly can't consider it at the final audit stage. If we're going to do that, the preliminary audit might as well be the final audit. And I just don't find that persuasive. The other issue I would bring up about this, and again, my auditors would chime in here. If I understand the argument the committee is making correctly, I think they were arguing that only 11% of the 128,000 that we consider non-qualified was actually non-qualified, and therefore there ought to be a reduction of 114,000. Is that's essentially the argument, right, Joe?
Their analysis of this, which is certainly different than what we have seen in the past, suggests that since they exceeded the limit by about 11%, that every disbursement attributable to the Iowa limit from the first to the last should be considered to have exceeded the limit by 11%, including those which were unpaid at the date of ineligibility. So then if you were going to remove the payables from the NOCO statement, you would do it at 11% rather than 100%. It is certainly a new concept or a different concept than we've had argued before. I find that it also has some rather peculiar results, because it would assume that some of the early disbursements that were made, when things were just getting started, after the fact are determined to have been at least partially over the spending limitation. There's no sort of temporal facet to how the budgets are worked and how things are incurred and paid as you go on through the campaign.
Yeah, I think also, if I understand this argument correctly, if you extend this argument logically that the committee is making, if they're saying that only 11% of all outstanding debt should be treated as non-qualified, all outstanding debt, well then don't you have to logically say that 11% of all the other expenses that were already paid was also non-qualified and add that figure to get an accurate figure of everything here?
Well, the 11% of the total would times the repayment ratio would bring you still to the 27,000 we talked about a little earlier. So it doesn't really affect that calculation. They're still over by the same amount. The only thing it would do is it would allow them to restore as a qualified campaign expense payable 89% of the Iowa bills that were unpaid as of the date of ineligibility.
Well, Mr. Chairman, we seem to have a disagreement here. I mean, the point that sticks with me is the fact that we've got a regulation that says you're ineligible when you withdraw, and that's the exact circumstances here. And I guess I don't see how we get around that fact.
Okay. Commissioner Weintraub?
I just want to clarify. Do I gather that does the $114,000 figure feel better to you, or are they both equally unacceptable alternatives? Because if I would get your vote, Commissioner Von Spakovsky, I would be willing to adopt the $114,000 figure based on the 11%, 89%, as opposed to the 128,000. If I'm not going to get your vote either way, then I will stick with 128, and and then you can make a substitute motion to put it all back in, and I won't vote for that, and then we'll be left with, the situation of are we going to approve the audit report or not. And so that's my suggestion for how we would proceed.
Yes, I'm sorry, Commissioner Von Spakovsky, please.
I don't know. Like I said, at the beginning, I mean, I agree that finding three we shouldn't go with, but I guess it seems to me that the audit division did the calculation of the NACO correctly according to our regulation.
Commissioner Weintraub.
I guess I'll make a motion, and maybe you'll make a substitute motion, and we'll just sort of play it out and see how it goes. So, Mr. Chairman, I will move to adopt the findings of the report of the Audit Division on Gephardt for President, Inc., as set forth in Agenda Document 0730, with the exception that I move to amend the report to reject the repayment in Finding 3, and also to subtract $128,105 from Finding 1.
Very good. Commissioner Weintraub has so moved. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
Aye.
Okay. Madam Secretary, if you could record that Commissioner Weintraub's motion has been adopted by a vote of 4-1, with the Chairman, Vice Chairman, Commissioner Weintraub, and Commissioner Walther voting in favor, and Commissioner Von Spakovsky voting against. So, I'm sorry, Commissioner Von Spakovsky.
Chairman, if I could, I'd like to ask that the record reflect that because the motion was made with regard to both findings, that's why I voted no. But I would have supported a motion eliminating Finding 3 if that had been offered by itself.
Okay, very good. The record will reflect, and I appreciate your willingness to truncate our meeting here somewhat today to accommodate.
And I appreciate your support for at least part of the motion.
Okay. And I'd like to thank our audit staff and our attorneys for their time and commitment in this matter.